The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I am Avra Lewis with the North Carolina Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine. The first article is titled, Get Back Out There. Here are five destinations for Black travelers to explore this summer. Number 2, Barbados, for a good night's rest at beach houses by the Crane or the Black-owned Villa La Mansion, Michelle. Then take a distillery tour at Mount Gay Rum or experience a taste of the Caribbean at the world-renowned Fish Fry. And with the return of Crop Over July 27th through August 2nd, you'll be sure to make this a summer to remember. New Mexico, known as the Land of Enchantment, New Mexico has much to appeal to families seeking new outdoor vacation locales, whether looking to ascend to the skies via hot air balloons in Albuquerque or explore the magnificent natural landscapes. You'll find adventure at every turn. New Mexico is also home to several spectacular national parks, including White Sands and Carlsbad Caverns, and the Bandler National Monument. Dubai. In Dubai, there is truly something for everyone. Boasting what is arguably the most impressive skyline in the world, the destination offers opportunities to go dune bashing, ride a camel in the desert at Sonora Camp, grub on a three-course meal high in the sky, enjoy luxury shopping at Dubai Mall, and then conclude your day at one of the world's top-ranked hotels, such as Four Seasons Resort Dubai at Jumeirah Beach or Atlantis, The Palm, all in one trip. You can even experience flavors of the diaspora at Kizza, a popular African restaurant, or indulge in some of your favorite Jamaican specialties at Miss Lily's Dubai Outpost. Number 5, Houston. The Bayou City is always a good idea, even in the Texas summer heat. Featuring a plethora of nightlife, cultural and dining options, family-friendly museums, and outdoor activities, H-Town is a favorite destination of celebrities, and it has no shortage of Black-owned businesses and hotels to support. At places like the famed Breakfast Club restaurant and the recently opened Pure Noire, Houston's first Black-owned urban winery and tasting room, you'll be putting your tourism dollars to inspired use. The next article is titled, Contributors. Carmen Jones is Senior Director for Essence Communications, Inc. The University of Maryland grad has never put her years of knowledge in cultivating successful brand marketing to work for the company since 2018. She's tasked with strategic planning, development and execution of franchises such as Black Women in Hollywood and the Essence Festival of Culture presented by Coca-Cola. Of this year's event, she says, this 28th Essence Fest marks our in-person return to NOLA. We are elated to unite with the city and the women we serve and excited to offer new experiences for men, techies, and foodies as well. Audrey Williams is a writer, an editor, and co-director of the award-winning Black Girl Church, a short documentary about the Black community's relationship with beauty supply stores. Journalism has been her preferred method of storytelling, from her days as a crime reporter for the New York Post to her work as an editor at Bustle and Babylist.com.
Now her latest role, motherhood, informs her duties, whether she's advocating for rest or writing about modern parenting. Our timely feature, The Essential Back to School Planner, is right in her wheelhouse. Yu Tsai, a globally renowned fashion and celebrity photographer, captured our cover star and Essence Fest headliner for the enigmatic Janet Jackson. He has been featured in Forbes and hosted shows on ABC, Fox, and National Geographic, and now produces his own broadcast and podcast content to highlight stories of the AAPI and LGBTQ plus communities. He recently shot 74-year-old model Mae Musk for the cover of Sports Illustrated and has also contributed to magazines such as Elle, Japan, Harper's Bazaar, Singapore, and Vogue Thailand. Offset, you'll find him at the piano or spending time with his 8-year-old godson. The next article is titled, Go On, Miss Janet. For more than 2 decades, Essence Festival of Culture has the space where we gather together in our name. We commune, we feast, we reveal, and most importantly, we love. In 2020 and 2021, the celebration was primarily virtual due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Despite the challenges, we persisted, creating a dynamic experience that centered wellness, beauty, entrepreneurship, and, of course, music. For 2022, we're back and better than ever. Join us in New Orleans for the 4th of July weekend, and you'll witness the return of the wonderful Janet Jackson to our stage. Along with Nicki Minaj and Jasmine Sullivan, we are also championing newcomers Summer Walker, Tim's, Fan Faves, The Roots and Friends, The Isley Brothers, Mickey Guyton, New Edition, Hip Hop Heavyweights, Method Man, Rakan, Ghostface Killah, and so many more cultural titans. In short, we outside. When the panels wrap and the music quiets, though, what remains is the true stock of the event. Louisiana's welcoming community, the countless folks who travel from near and far to partake, the enterprising vendors and dedicated Essence team members who make this so much more than the largest festival of music and culture in the United States. It's an annual joy-filled celebration of all
that we are.
The next article is titled, The Removal Report. The sun is out and we're wearing less everywhere, including down there. Here's what the experts have to say about bikini hair removal for Black women. Pluck it, trim it, wax it, shave it, or laser it off. Regardless of the method you choose, if you are planning to chill poolside or beachside this summer, chances are you are after a flawless bikini line as well. There are a variety of hair removal options to get you there. Shaving, using depilatory creams, waxing, sugaring, or the most permanent, lasering. But for most Black women, engaging in these practices can cause ingrown hairs, hyperpigmentation, and burns. This begs the question, what is the best practice for us? Reactions can vary based on genetics and how the skin heals, says Dr. Davis, a board-certified cosmetic dermatologist. Melanin-rich skin has melanocytes that are extremely sensitive to different aesthetic treatments. Shaving is usually the first hair removal option that comes to mind, as It's often the most accessible and cost-friendly method, but unfortunately, if not done correctly, shaving can result in injuries such as cuts, rashes, and razor bumps, damaging the skin. However, taking proper steps before and after, such as using an ingrown elixir to soothe the shaving area, can get you a smooth bikini line. What about depilatory products such as Nair and Veet? Are they safe? Like shaving, applying such products is an economical and easily accessible alternative for Black women seeking a hairless bikini line. Depilatory creams such as Nair or Veet can be an option, Davis confirms. However, given that it is a chemical hair removal method, there is always a risk of allergic reactions or chemical burns if not properly applied. In short, depilatory creams are safe in moderation and with careful use. For women considering waxing, it is advisable to enlist the services of a specialist. That's because many Black women still suffer from ingrown hairs and hyperpigmentation after waxing. Black women's bikini hair is often thicker and coarser than other races and is more susceptible to ingrowns if the wrong wax and technique is used, explains Ariana Smith, owner of the Wax Lounge in New York. Our hair comes in curly, so after waxing or shaving, it tends to curl underneath the skin, which is how ingrowns are formed. Wendy Jules, co-owner of Fleur de Lis Beauty and Aesthetics, and also an esthetician, RN, recommends lasering as the way to avoid ingrowns altogether, plus enjoy a longer time without the hair growing back. Lasering the bikini line, you are less likely to suffer from razor bumps because the laser is flattening and killing the hair at the root, she says. If you aren't ready to commit to lasering, however, a proper care routine after waxing and shaving can also be preventative. Exfoliating can help stop hair from getting trapped under dead skin, and cooling agents like aloe vera can soothe inflammation. Davis also recommends using pigment collecting agents with ingredients such as niacinamide, kojic acid, tranexamic acid, mandelic acid, and/or hydroquinone to help combat hyperpigmentation. While there is no one size fits all hair removal technique for Black women, depending on your lifestyle, one option may be better than another. The most important you can do is take care of the skin between procedures to help irritation and ingrowns. Unsure of what's best for your skin? Ask a professional. Best methods. First, shaving. Shaving is often the most cost-effective option and cuts the hair down to the skin surface. Using a quality razor and a moisturizing shave cream can easily give the bikini line an unblemished finish. Professional tip: if your hair has grown a bit longer, trim first to prevent pulling. Number 2, depilatory creams. Products like Nair and Veet go on like a cream and break down the bonds that hold the hair together, allowing hair to be wiped away after a few minutes. Depilatory creams are a practical and safe option when used exactly as instructed on the label. Number 3, waxing. In this method, you warm the wax, apply it to the bikini area, and remove it by pulling in the opposite direction of the hair growth, taking out the root of the hair. Given the relative thickness of our hair, Ariana Smith of the Wax Lounge recommends that black women seek shops that have hard wax instead of soft wax and strips. Number 4, sugaring. Sugaring is a similar technique to applying hard wax, but it uses more natural ingredients like sugar paste, lemon, and water. Smith says the results of sugaring and hard wax are comparable, and that the choice between the two often depends on your preference for ingredients. Number 5, lasering. A hair removal treatment in which light lasers are used to attack the roots of the hair. This approach requires several sessions and is definitely pricier, but the hair grows back thinner and more slowly with each session. Wendy of Floor D-List Beauty and Aesthetics suggests women choose providers with a YAG lasering system. The YAG laser is longer and can easily distinguish between our melanin and the hair follicle, which reduces the chance of burns. Lasering is the longest lasting hair removal method. The next article is titled, Head Brit in Charge. When you talk Good American or Skims, make sure you mention Emma, the fashion powerhouse, putting black women first. Countless brands have begun receiving more of my support the moment I found out a black woman was at the helm. Good America and Skims were two of these, and the women leading them, Emma. I've had a job since I was 12 years old, Emma tells me, as we sit amid the lush greenery adorning her Bel Air patio. Raised in East London by a single mother, the daughter of Jamaican and Trinidadian immigrants, soon chose entrepreneurship, rejecting the experience of being undervalued and underpaid. For me, starting my own business was something that I fell into because I didn't think I was being treated fairly, she says. Establishing her talent management and entertainment marketing agency, Independent Talent Brand, ITB, worldwide at just 24, she admits that she made quite a few mistakes. But just as the TikToks of today encourage black women to be delusional and fantasize their lives, Emma is in agreement that a level of fearlessness pays off. Being naive is a fantastic thing, she says. I made all those classic early mistakes, but that time really taught me how to leverage talent for the sake of a brand. If I hadn't taken big risks then, I would never be where I am today, and I would never have understood how to create working partnerships. That skill proved beneficial in 2015 when she came up with the idea for denim brand Good American. After years of building a rapport with Kris Jenner and working with every Kardashian sister except Khloe, Emma proposed an idea to Jenner that would end up bridging that last gap. I said, listen, I've got this idea, and I really feel like the movement around being inclusive is going to become something, she recalls. At the time, I don't even think body positivity was a term. We're talking about 7 years ago. Jenner told Emma to let her know the next time she'd be in Los Angeles so she could arrange a pitch meeting with Chloe. Emma, who actually had no plan to travel across the pond from London in the near future, immediately responded, I'll be there next week. The rest is fashion history. It sounds cliche, but Chloe really did finish my sentences. Emma says of her current business partner, and she'd had plenty of experiences where she'd been overlooked because of her size. Their brand was an instant success, praised for hugging curves in all the right places, eliminating that annoying gap in the back and coming in an expansive size range. Upon its launch in 2016, the brand's first day numbers amounted to $1 million on denim alone. 2 years later, the line expanded into athletic leisure, ready-to-wear dresses and shoes. The success of Good American marked the beginning of a successful marriage between Emma and the Kardashian-Jenner clan. Emma and Kris Jenner are co-founders of Safely, a collection of plant-powered cleaning and home care products. While Emma's long-standing love for fashion may be what drives her endeavors, it was her business savvy that propelled her into the small screen. In 2021, she became the first Black female investor on the hit ABC show Shark Tank, a moment she didn't take lightly. Of course, there was that pressure of me thinking, well, I'm not sure I'm the Black woman that everybody wants to see on that show, she says candidly. I'm English, I don't have the same history and the same background, and I didn't want to be a letdown. She was anything but, with all six of her investments going to brands founded by Black women. I went on with a specific mission, she explains. I said, any Black woman who comes in front of me, that is where my energy is going to go. Her passion for ensuring that Black women continue to secure equity didn't stop there. Emma currently serves as chairwoman of the 15% Pledge, a nonprofit organization that works with retailers to pledge at least 15% of their shelf space to Black-owned businesses. We are trying to close the racial wealth gap, she says. I'm in a position where I can get people on the phone, so I'm always going to make things happen. Moving to this country has been an eye-opener for me and has unlocked something in me that has created a different set of ambitions in my life. These ambitions will ultimately make way for a better world for her 8-year-old son, Gray, 7-year-old daughter, Lola, and 8-month-old twins, a boy and a girl, Lake and Rafferty, whom she's raising with her husband. When speaking about Jens, her husband, a force in the fashion world, Emma can't help brimming with admiration, while I can't help gawking at her flawless diamond ring. Jens has been her biggest supporter. I married a Swedish man, which, if you know Swedes, they're the most progressive, feminist society ever, she says. He also affirms her belief that there's no reason to juggle it all alone. I'm very unashamed of having help, she says. It really takes a village, and I pay the village to help me get to where I need to go. I have nannies, and they are honestly the most important people in my life, outside of my husband and my children. But at the end of the day, her partnership reigns supreme. Everybody goes home at some point, and you need someone who's going to meet you halfway. That's Jens. During an interview that was supposed to be 20 minutes but turned into an hour, it became abundantly clear that everything Emma does is with Black women in mind, and it's not for show. I say all the time that representation matters, she states, but it's only the start of the story. We can put Black women in our campaigns, but what happens after that? Are you paying Black women fairly in your business? Are you actually giving them the opportunity to be on the management team or to be at board level? Are they progressing as quickly as other groups in the business? Representation absolutely matters, but it's the intentionality and transparency of it all. On that note, I say bring on more Good American, and Skims. The next article is titled Black in Country. As Mickey Guyton breaks barriers within her genre, she's more sure than ever about her place in the music industry. When I think about a four-time Grammy-nominated artist prepping to speak to the press, I imagine someone shrouded by an overly protective PR team that listens intently to every word she speaks. But for our 2 o'clock interview on a Friday afternoon, country singer Mickey Guyton calls me directly from her cell phone. She's on the line alone, fresh from an appointment at the nail salon. From behind the wheel of her car, Guyton jokingly assures me that her road rage days are over. I'm inclined to believe her as she takes me on a journey describing the ups and downs of her love affair with country music, from her introduction to the genre to her first spark of infatuation when she saw LeAnn Rimes perform. She recounts the painful moment when she realized the relationship had become toxic and relishes the place she's in now, operating in authenticity and receiving love in return. And she doesn't lose her cool for 1 minute. But before that walk down memory lane, Guyton makes a poignant statement of fact. Black women are country, she says. Not all black people, of course, but when Guyton was a girl growing up all over the state of Texas, country was her reality. Her uncles trained horses, her school had Wrangler Friday pep rallies, her grandmother loved movies like Steel Magnolias and Hope Floats. It was in her grandmother's home that Guyton and country music first met. My grandmother loved Dolly Parton, she recalls. When I would go to her house, I watched the Roots VHS collection and Dolly Parton and Kenny Rogers duets. Years later, when Guyton saw Rimes perform the national anthem at All-Star Baseball Game in 1997, she realized it might be something she could do as well. After all, Rimes, who was 14 at the time, was a teenager just like Guyton. Of course, there are key differences between Rimes and Guyton, who's now 39, and as Guyton navigated her relationship with country music and the industry baggage that came with it, her passion for the genre was questioned. People wonder, are you really country, or are you just some failed artist that's trying out country music, she says.
Well, we have run out of time for today's episode of Essence. We hope you enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I am Avra Lewis, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Essence is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.